Reading from God's holy word today, we are still with the second prophet Isaiah. We're in the 49th chapter of Isaiah, and we are reading verses 1 through 7. Hear then this word from Isaiah. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and to gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of the rulers. Kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. And our epistle lesson today comes from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. We're starting at verse 1 in the first chapter and reading the first 9 verses. This follows the very standard rhetorical style of writing. At that time, Paul was well versed in that, being trained in it and being a lawyer. And so it follows that style. Listen to what Paul writes. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge. Because of our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you, therefore you do not lack in any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. And we're reading today from the Gospel according to John. We do that periodically during all 3 of the lectionary years, so even though we are in the year of Matthew, we get to hear what John has to say once in a while. And we're starting in the first chapter, but we're starting at verse 29. And right, John's been baptizing in the river, and he denies being the Christ. That's what happened right before today's reading. So hear then these words of our Lord. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen, and I testify that this is the Son of God. The next day John was there again with two of his disciples, and when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard John say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where Jesus was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard that John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ, the Anointed One. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which means, when translated, Peter. May the Lord add his blessing to our hearing of his holy word. Let us pray. Oh God, I ask that you bless now the meditation of all of our hearts and minds, that your word and your will be revealed to us, and that we might go forward with your spirit in order to fulfill it. Amen. The theme today is rather in your face, because I think I counted at least 16 times the word call was mentioned between the Hebrew scriptures and on. Even in the Psalm, it used the word call. Call by name, called to be disciples, called to be a light to the Gentiles. Call. We often talk about the calling of the disciples and how they kind of just stand up in their boats and leave. They get up out of their tax collecting office and follow Jesus. They abandoned everything they have to follow. In today's story, two disciples had already abandoned everything. They were following John the Baptizer. And he told them, "That's the Son of God, the Holy One." And there they went. They followed Jesus instead, looking for the Messiah, wanting to become students of his way. What about you? When were you called? Do you still hear it? We talked on New Year's about dreams and visions, and last week we talked about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and we hunger for that, and that's a gift from God. Faith in God and knowing that God is the living one is truly a gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that makes happen the Word of God. And you're here today because you're people of faith. And you're following God. So you've been called. Maybe in the womb, like Isaiah. Maybe at different times in your life. What was it like? That time when you got to know, when God invited you into a special relationship. I look at the call of the disciples in the scriptures. We got one such story today. And I wonder, what are they called for? Have you ever wondered that? What are they called to do? What's the purpose of the call? Well, one we know is to follow. That's been given, yeah? Follow. Here is the Messiah. But they didn't even know what the Messiah meant, right? Many of them were looking for a political salvation to overthrow Rome and get rid of Herod. The promise of a Messiah was real for the people of Israel, but clarity as to what a Messiah was And what a Messiah would do was not. So they're called to follow a person who's been identified as the Messiah. And yet what? To what end? Sometimes in the church we say that we are called to bear witness that Jesus is the Messiah. And certainly they did that. They followed him for 3.5 years, learning everything he did, told us about it by telling others who then wrote it down that we might have scripture and know today. Bear witness to the faith that they have in the living God. Bear witness to seeing him crucified and raised from the dead, yeah? Bear witness. But there's more to that then, isn't there? Somebody who spends 3.5 years living day and night with another human being gets to know them really well. They know when the flu bug goes through the group, yeah? They know what it's like on a rainy night and you can't get the fire started. Or you're far from a grocery store and there's no food. Or the people don't like you and they drive you out of the synagogue and threaten to stone you for speaking words they don't want to hear. They know about the good times and the bad. The days fishing, the days sitting around a campfire and talking, the time when they have to do hard work and the time when they get to relax. And they become really BFFs, right? Isn't that, I hope that's the right terminology. Best friends forever? Yeah, you know, BFFs? Okay. I'm not tech savvy and I'm not culturally lingual anymore, but they're BFFs, right? People who are there with you. My best friend held the bucket when I was really sick with the flu in the dorm in theological school. She will be my best friend forever, and I owe her holding the bucket, right? That's what best friends do. Best friends forever. But more than the kind of friend where once every 5 years you get a Christmas card or you send one, you know, and I have some good friends and we get together and it's like we were never apart, but we hadn't seen each other for 15 years. You know, we have to wear signs at the airport. We look different. Now I'm talking about the best friend who you can call up and talk about the frustrations you have or the joys you have or just that it's an ordinary day and they're there with you. The kind of friend who, they're driving past and they say, I saw the light on and it seemed a little late for y'all and I thought I'd stop in and see how you were doing. Everything okay? People who know you and whom you know. Best friends. Jesus was their best friend. Jesus is our BFF. Called to follow, called to bear witness, called to be best friends, called to do the work of the kingdom of God. Jesus sent them out, didn't he? He showed them how to heal, give sight to the blind, help the lame walk, cure leprosy, raise the dead. And he sent him out to do that, didn't he? And they got to do that. They got to do the work of God's kingdom right there in that place. They didn't have to wait for a second coming. They got to do it right there, right then, to be part of God's realm. When we're called, We're not just called to believe. We're called to believe and to live. I wonder how we as individuals are being disciples in God's realm. Where's the work that we're doing? In the fall, I was preaching and I was talking about being generous to those who are marginalized, the outcast, and the poor. And a couple people afterwards told me that they were having a really hard time feeling generous towards one or the other of the many political candidates that we had at that time. And that stuck with me because it wasn't something I thought about. But I don't think our political candidates are the poor and the marginalized and the outcast and the oppressed. So I guess, I don't know, you can take with that what you want. The realm of God takes care of the least of these, the least of the people, the least of the creation, the least who have no voice and no power. Powerful stuff to be a disciple, isn't it? To be called by God, to be named in the womb, to be invited into a faith community, to be the body of Christ. As individuals, it really is our life's work. But Paul talked about the calling of the church, the body of Christ, gathered together on that Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given. And so the same questions go for us as the church of Jesus Christ. We're called. We put the name on the door. We follow. We might wonder about the Messiah, but we are to bear witness that Jesus is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Holy One. It's been done for 150 years here. We pray that we'll continue that. We're called to have Christ as our BFF, the head of the church, the best friend, the one to whom we look for every answer, in whom we trust and rely on. Not who we forget about Monday through Saturday, but every day. And we're called to be part of God's kingdom that is breaking forth right now, to work for that. In New Year's, we have traditions, don't we? Resolutions for the coming year, review of the year previous, looking to see where we've been and what we've done. This congregation has chosen to work against adult illiteracy. It's one of the ways in which we try to bring the work of God's kingdom right here, to change lives and to be changed. But there are many other ways that we do work in God's realm as well. And so I invite us to reflect not only for our own growth of relationship with God, but for our growth in relationship with God as a congregation, to look for the ways that God has called us to be part of God's kingdom, to do the work right here, now and in the days to come. May we hear that voice loudly and clearly. Amen.